I'm going to be preaching today from the second chapter of Acts, the birth of the church. Acts 2, 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthenians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, it's good to be in your temple, among your people, in the presence of your Spirit and your word. Lord, thank you for Pentecost. Thank you for the Trinity. Thank you for who you are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for the birth of the church. Thank you for sending the Spirit. Send the Spirit now that we might be renewed. In Christ's name we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What do you think is the highest, holiest day of the Christian calendar? Do you think there is one? Which one is it? Which is the highest, holiest of all the high holy days in the Christian calendar? I have one uncle. Now, I have uncles by marriage, but I only have one uncle by blood. My father had two sisters and no brothers. My mother had four sisters and one brother. That's my one uncle. Uncle Wayne. Reverend Uncle Wayne. And Uncle Wayne loves Christmas. He just loves Christmas. Of course, he's not alone in that. We all love Christmas, but he really loved Christmas. And I kind of get that from him because of the way I grew up in that family, on my mom's side of the family. All of my early childhood years and even many of my adult years, Christmas was with my grandparents and my extended family. And we would gather at my grandmother's and grandfather's house and we would have this tremendous meal. And that meal would go on and on and on. And then after that, there would be visiting with one another. And my cousin Karen would bring all of her toys that she got for Christmas. And she always got the best toys. And we would see her toys and we would play with those toys. And then at some point in the mid-afternoon, Uncle Wayne would say, "Let's open gifts." Because my grandparents got gifts for each one of us. And he would say, "Let's open gifts." But from the time he said, let's open gifts, until the time that we actually got to open the gifts, there was quite a bit of time there, because the Reverend Wayne Glass would spend a little bit of time, and he would have, beforehand, he would have appointed somebody to read the Christmas story out of the Gospel of Luke, and he would have appointed somebody to pray. And then he would, although he wouldn't call it this, and it wouldn't be an official sermon, he would preach. And he would preach about how much he loved Christmas and how much love was at the heart of Christmas. And it's what really moved him. It's what stirred the spirit within him, was the love of Christmas. And he lingered on that, and we were all locked on every word because we knew it was genuine, and Christmas wasn't Christmas until Uncle Wayne said those words of love that he shared with us. And so, not that I asked him, not that I said, do you think that Christmas is the highest, holiest day of the Christian calendar? He didn't say that, but he really loved Christmas. It's what really stirred the spirit within him. If you were to ask me, I might even say Thanksgiving. And you would say, hey, wait a minute. I don't even think that's a Christian holiday, and it's not. But for the same reasons my Uncle Wayne loves Christmas, I love Thanksgiving. We got together for Thanksgiving every year at my father's grandparents' house, my grandparents on that side. And that's what Thanksgiving was for me. The purest of the holidays, right? No gift giving. The least commercial of all the holidays, just pure love and Thanksgiving. If we're going to talk about Thanksgiving and allow it into being really an important holiday in the Christian calendar, even though it's not an official Christian holiday, then we probably have to make room for Mother's Day, right? Only Easter has a higher attendance at church than Mother's Day. And so for many people, Mother's Day stirs the spirit within them. They get those feelings of love on Mother's Day, and thank God for mothers. This is Father's Day, and I don't want to steal Father's Day by talking about Mother's Day, but we all know that there's more emphasis on Mother's Day than there is on Father's Day, right? And Jesus, if Jesus called God Father, that's good enough for me. But I so much appreciate the feminine attributes of God. Jesus himself said, Jerusalem, I would gather you as a hen under my wings. Thank God for the love and the mercy and the tenderness and the feminine attributes of God. Where would we be as a church? Where would we be as a world without the feminine attributes of God? And so if Mother's Day is your high holy day, that's all right. Then let it be Mother's Day. Of course, some might point to Good Friday, the day that Jesus died and something happened in that death. We call it atonement, and there are various theories on really what happened. Really, what does atonement mean? But we know that something by the death and the suffering of Jesus, that something happened right there that led to our salvation. And so some might rightly say and make a good argument that Good Friday is the highest of the holy days in the Christian calendar. But I want to tell you this morning, and this might sound bold, this might sound somewhat scandalous, but without Pentecost, Easter is really empty. The power of Easter, and many of us would place Easter right there if we were pushed to it. We would say, okay, if you're going to make me pick one day, then Easter is the high holy holiday. It's the one. It's the one that the early Christians actually took Saturday, Sabbath day. And the early Christians were Jewish people. They moved the Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday. So we celebrate Easter every single Sunday. So certainly that would be the highest of the holy days. But Easter itself, as powerful as it is, the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead, it's empty without Pentecost, without the coming of the Holy Spirit, then Easter is empty. If we look at today's lesson from Acts, the apostles gathered in Jerusalem as Jesus told them to, and they waited for the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Now, Pentecost wasn't originally a Christian holiday. Pentecost was a harvest
festival, and it was the time when they recognized the giving of the law to Moses, and so it had been there down through the ages. But on the day of Pentecost, they were gathered in Jerusalem, and then with the sound of a rushing wind, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus promised, overtook them, and flames of fire rested on each of their heads, and they began speaking in the languages of all of those gathered, and those gathered heard this message in their own languages. If that's not a miracle, I don't know what it is. And so the church was born there on Pentecost Sunday. And so I suppose if we were going to appropriate that for our own lives, then we would need to maybe work out our pneumatology, right? Pneuma, meaning wind or breath or spirit. Let's figure out our pneumatology, because we know that the Holy Spirit is spoken of not only here in the second chapter of Acts, but the Holy Spirit is spoken of from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. In Genesis, the breath of God, the wind of God, swept over the unformed earth. And out of that spirit, God created, by his word and by his spirit, he created our world. And so the spirit was there from the very beginning. And at the end, in the revelation in John, John, who got that revelation, said that he was in the spirit. So from the beginning and to the end and all the way through the middle, the spirit is present. The apostle Paul said, the reason why we can even say Jesus is Lord is because of the Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't even say that Jesus is Lord. It was Paul who said, these are the fruits of the Spirit, and he listed all of them. And so the Spirit has been there from the beginning and will be there to the end. So, what's it going to be? Because even in the gospel lesson today, wasn't in those verses, but it was in that section of the Gospel of John. You might say that in the Gospel of John, Pentecost Sunday happened in the upper room when Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, appeared to them and breathed on them. Another pneumatology, right? Another way to study the Holy Spirit and what is its origin and how does it work. So we could figure out our pneumatology, or we could simply try to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and understand that it's the Holy Spirit that gives power to the Father and the Son in the Holy Trinity. And so we might ponder on this Pentecost Trinity Father's Day, Sunday, we might ponder, what is it that brings the Spirit? There are many ways to create an image for what the Spirit is. And I like what the United Methodist Church has done. On your bulletin, there's the cross and the flame. That's the symbol of the United Methodist Church. It's on the front of the building. And so that flame represents, the divided flame right there, represents the Holy Spirit. And I like this image as the Holy Spirit. I like that image of a fire. But my grandparents on the other side, my grandparents on my father's side, for the first 10 or 12 years of my growing up, they didn't have central heating and air. They didn't ever have air conditioning, but they heated their home with a coal stove in the kitchen and then a double fireplace in the wall between the living room and the bedroom. And they had coal delivered to a building out beside the garage, and my grandfather would bring coal in a coal bucket, and lump coal would go in those fireplaces and go in that furnace in the kitchen, and that's how they heated the home. And I can still smell it. I can still feel the warmth of it. But just about the time that you thought that fire in that fireplace had gone out, all you really saw was a pile of gray ashes. All you had to do was take that poker, pull it out, poke into that pile of ashes, and whoosh, there were these burning coals, these embers that were burning underneath there. The fire wasn't out. I like to think of the Holy Spirit that way, that inside of each one of us is that pile of coals, those burning embers. And sometimes they can be it just about seems like they're out. They're no longer burning. But if we poke them,
if we poke that Holy Spirit that lives within us, then that flame jumps back into life. For me, that's a beautiful image of the Holy Spirit. And so how do we stir? How do we stir the Spirit? How do we poke those embers and get those flames burning again? Well, Acts chapter 2 gives us a couple of ideas. First of all, it says, tells us what the disciples did. They were, number one, they were obedient. Nancy referred to this. They did what Jesus taught them. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, and they went to Jerusalem. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait there for the promise of the Father, and they waited. And they were doubters from the beginning, but they obeyed, and they waited. The second thing that might stir those embers would be community. The scripture says that they were together in one place. The disciples stuck together. And the Holy Spirit, yes, resides within us, each one of us, individually, wherever we are and wherever we go. But in a special way, when we come together in community, it sets the stage for the coming of the Spirit, because I see the Spirit in you and you see the Spirit in me, and we share the Spirit with one another, and the Holy Spirit becomes real in community as we serve one another and serve in the greater world. And so obedience and community and, of course, prayer. If you read Acts chapter 1, before we get to the story of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, we find that the apostles have given themselves to prayer. We've been talking about this for weeks, and I shared that a pastor buddy of mine said that really our only job as pastors is to help our people learn to pray and to pray. And so if we want to poke those ashes of the Holy Spirit and see the Holy Spirit come alive in our lives and in our church, then we will be obedient, and we will come together as community, and we will pray, and then we will wait. We will wait. Waiting is hard. It's extremely hard to wait, especially when times get tough. But the apostles, they gathered, they prayed, they got together, and they waited. But they waited with expectation. They believed what Jesus told them, that the Holy Spirit would come if they would go, and they would wait, and they would pray. And the Holy Spirit did come, and came like a violent wind. It came in an unmistakable way. And I want to say right now, it's kind of parentheses. I would never expect that the evidence of the Holy Spirit would always manifest itself in that kind of a way, in that kind of a powerful, unmistakable way, because I myself am more of an introvert. And some of you are. I mean, by virtue of the fact that you're in a Methodist church, the frozen chosen, many of us just like to kind of sit there. But I would never say what's going on in your spirit based on what's happening externally, because that fire could very well, as I hope it is in me, could be burning inside of you, and no one would ever know on the outside. But if the Holy Spirit manifests itself in you by shouting and singing and waving your hands and your arms, then by all means do it. We introverts will give you permission to do it. If you extroverts will give us permission to enjoy the Spirit inside of ourselves. Anything is appropriate. But don't ever rule out the fact that if we obey and if we wait and if we pray, that the Holy Spirit might come in a very, very powerful way. A very powerful way that it might be unmistakable. And we can pray for that. We see that happening, and we continue to pray for it. And in the end, Uncle Wayne was right. Uncle Wayne was right. That the Holy Spirit comes when the fires of His Spirit are poked by the Holy Spirit itself, and it comes to life, and it burns with that kind of love. And the high holy days of the Christian calendar are only reminders that the Holy Spirit is within us, and the Holy Spirit will come when we're obedient and we wait and we pray and we are expectantly waiting for it to come. It's not so much about the days. It's about what it is that pokes your embers.
what it is that gets that flame going again. And that might happen. That might happen on Pentecost. That might happen on Easter. That might happen on Thanksgiving. That might happen on Christmas Day, or it might happen Tuesday. It might happen today. Thanks be to God for the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me now, the 42nd Psalm? Repeat after me. Be still and know that I am God.
Be still and know that I am God.
Be still and know that I am.
Be still and know that I am.
Be still and know.
Be still and know.
Be still.
Be still.
Be.